Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life. This is part two of our interview with Joni Shepherd.
Welcome to Life Matters. I'm Toni Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha. Today I'm joined by Joni Shepherd. She's the founder and president of Hope and Grace Global. Joni has spent decades working in abortion recovery, church leadership training, and prevention, helping churches address abortion with both grace and truth. Joni, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you so much, Toni. It's such an honor to be here with you today.
In your view, how does a church's response or lack of response shape whether women seek help or quietly choose abortion?
Well, if the church isn't a safe place to go for help, then where else is there to go but to the world? Now, there's pregnancy centers. Obviously, pregnancy centers are there to help a woman and a couple through this crisis. But a lot of churches don't even tell their congregation about the pregnancy center. They think, oh, that's for the people out in the world. Right. It needs to be for the people in the church just as much.
Absolutely. Especially when you share those statistics, abortions occurring inside the church just as much as they are outside the church. So
Right.
We got some work to do. So I'm going to shift gears just a tad bit and talk a little bit about Hope and Grace Global. So Hope and Grace Global was created to address some of the gaps that we see among churches or in the church. How did the organization begin and what need were you seeing that wasn't being met?
Okay. So in 2016, following this very traumatic employment situation, God put this mission on my heart, mainly to reach and equip pastors to address sexuality, pregnancy, and abortion proactively and with compassion so that they will endorse the need for their congregations to be equipped. And this was kind of scary for me because I'm like, God, you want me to say what to who? most of the pro-life movement works around pastors. Yeah. We don't want to bother them. Mm-hmm. And most of the pro-life movement fights abortion in the world while Satan's biggest playground is in the church.
Yeah.
And so we're not fighting strategically. Mm-hmm. So I think of this example. Say if China declares war on the U.S. and is inflicting most of their casualties on the East Coast, would our military send most of the troops to the West Coast? Yeah. No. How stupid would that be? We'd all be speaking Chinese before we knew it.
Yeah.
But that is how we, the pro-life movement in general, have been fighting abortion with very little cooperative strategy. Mm-hmm. Pregnancy centers are the most strategic in directly saving lives.
Yeah.
And those who work with legislation are strategic in changing laws, but mm-hmm. no one is working together to call the church to the same standards in how we live this out.
Yeah.
Some ministries are doing great things, but we don't play well together. Mm-hmm. And I've heard so many people say, well, the church is not my area. But I believe that as believers, the church is all of our area. And so we've got to stop bemoaning the fact that Christians have the most abortions and begin strategically taking back the territory that Satan has owned almost exclusively for the past 50 plus years.
Yeah.
I believe Satan loves that we're fighting the hardest by trying to change legislation and shut down abortion clinics. Because while we're doing that, he is executing the children of God's people with almost free rein.
Yeah.
And if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we're getting. And I believe God will hold us accountable. He's not going to look the other way and say, good job. And the situation isn't going to change until we begin discipling our congregations with truth and grace. There has to be a balance.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I like the fact that you talk about reaching and equipping pastors. And I think, I don't know that anyone expects a pastor to have all the answers to every situation and circumstance that exists. And so we would hope that, the Big C Church would, find those pregnancy centers or find those agencies that are, helping with pro-life issues. And so I'm grateful for the work that you're doing to bridge that gap, because there is a gap. There's a pregnancy centers and those that, like you said, are in the legislature doing things. And then we have a church. There needs to be a bridge to the pregnancy centers and those things that will show the pastors or help the pastors. We want to change hearts. We hope that the opportunity when a young lady comes to Assure, we talk to her about her options, and we hope that we can share the gospel with her. But what she needs is discipleship, because that's going to change her heart. Her time with us, very limited. And so we need that partnership, and we need pastors to be able to say, hey, let's reach out to, and we need to be able to say, hey, let's reach out to this church. I got a young lady that needs to be disciples, she needs some help. And so it's a Big C. It's a Big C thing.
Definitely. Well, yes. Yeah. As well as a local C thing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. So you work closely with pastors and church leaders. Where do they most often underestimate their influence in abortion prevention and healing?
Well, if pastors and church leaders could understand that when they endorse something, most of the congregation is going to take it seriously. And if they don't endorse it, they're really not. So if the shepherds don't lead the sheep away from danger, the sheep are going to be devoured, or they're going to fall off cliffs. Mm-hmm. And I think most pastors really don't have any idea of the extent of the dangers of sexual sin and abortion in the lives of their congregations. Seminaries don't teach this stuff. They teach, don't do it, just like we learned.
Right.
Seminaries teach a church paradigm that doesn't have room for dealing with these taboo issues in our culture that are causing so much destruction. There's a small percentage of pastors who've figured some things out on their own, and they are addressing these things, but there's no central learning station where they can be educated on how to do this. Well, until now, I believe most pastors have really good hearts, and they would be tackling these things if they knew how serious the issues were or how to go about them.
Good. Joni, what does effective abortion prevention within the church actually look like in practice?
Well, it begins with something called godly sorrow, and that is seeing this mess through God's eyes. And that's beginning with the shepherds of the sheep. Yeah. So godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Yeah. So Paul said this to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 7, following the scandal of sexual immorality in the church, over which he instructed them how to deal with it. And so we must also learn and teach God's design of the human body and understand the mess of mankind's perversion, including Christians. And then worldly sorrow versus godly sorrow, because most of the church has worldly sorrow about these topics. And we need to learn, we need to decide. We have a choice to defend the false arguments that are out there or to demolish them. Are we going to remain silent in the Holocaust, or are we going to lead the way out of it?
Yeah.
And this is all part of the core curriculum of Hope and Grace Academy.
Okay, good, good. So how can churches prepare before an unplanned pregnancy happens rather than reacting after the fact?
They need to learn all of the above we've discussed. We need to understand why Christians have the most abortions and that the babies are not the only victims of it. Moms and dads and grandparents and siblings are all living victims of it. All of us are sinners. None of us deserve grace, but Jesus paid with his life for all of our sin once and for all. I had a pastor years ago use the statement, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And I love that. But we need to understand that the problem didn't begin with the unplanned pregnancy. It began with false beliefs and deception that led the person into sexual sin. And then it began with not respecting, again, the sanctity of the human body and the body of their partner. And, you know, it's always good to pray. It's never the opposite, but we have to understand that we can't just pray for God to end abortion. We must be obedient. We've got to disciple the congregation and what they need to know proactively so that when the time comes, the solution is a no-brainer.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the fact that you said we need to understand why. And I think if we can pull back the layers and get to the why, I think that would help us to understand where we as the church can do better.
Yes.
If we can get to the why, we'll figure that out somehow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. And it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby.
You're listening to Life Matters. I'm Toni Clark, and today I'm talking with Joni Shepherd, founder and president of Hope and Grace Global. We've been discussing abortion within the church, the unique pressures unwed Christian women face, and how churches can become places of safety, truth, and restoration. Let's continue our conversation. One of the major initiatives is the Safe Church Project. What is the Safe Church Project that you use or you talk about?
Okay, so this goes along with our mission for Hope and Grace, which is to equip the local church to become a safe haven that proactively champions biblical sexuality and life and redemptively heals those wounded by sexual sin or abortion or any deceptive choice, basically. So we do this proactively and redemptively so that the church may become empowered by truth, healed by grace, champions for life, and a safe haven. And so we do this through engaging videos and courses that redeem the story. We need to redeem the stories of the past in the future. Like, let's do that differently. Let's do that better. And so our first course, Get Equipped, is for really anyone from age 12 through the aged. I've had people of all ages take these classes. And this equips everyone to become educated ambassadors and advocates regarding these topics. Okay. And then Be the Solution is for pastors and those who want to be equipped to become commissioned pastors who endorse the need for equipping and supporting this mission, and then commissioned ambassadors that continue to educate and rally the church, and also commissioned advocates who walk alongside those in crisis or trauma, similar to a pregnancy center. But they can walk alongside people in real life, speaking the truth in love, bringing hope and grace and directing them to resources. Mm-hmm. So a commissioned pastor, like we've said, a pastor doesn't have to do all this work. Yeah. He's actually got the easiest job of all the roles, and that is just to endorse the need for this, to begin taking back the subject of abortion from politics and begin a new kind of conversation that speaks truth with God's grace about these previously unmentionable topics. Mm-hmm. So not just from the standpoint of a terrible thing that happens to other people, but the shame and the trauma and the loss that has happened to many in the church. Mm-hmm. And we're going to figure out how to heal together and how to educate and equip our young people to make healthier choices mm-hmm. so they won't need to heal later from making the poor ones that a lot of us have made.
That's good. That's good. So, you know, we were just talking about the Safe Church Project and, you know, in my mind, I kind of know what, you know, I have an idea what a safe church looks like, but you have something that's called the Certified Safe Church. Can you maybe walk us through what that looks like for a church to become a certified safe church?
Okay. So isn't the first step always recognizing we have a problem? So our Safe Church Project, we have a folder that, and we have a few videos that provide this understanding. So we can come and speak to a congregation for 10 to 12 minutes to bring the whole church a motivation for this. Mm-hmm. We can break the ice. Pastors can break the ice by allowing people to share their testimonies of their experience, whether choosing life, you know, when in a untimely pregnancy or choosing abortion and, you know, how God redeemed in both of those situations. Mm-hmm. And then we have a getting started folder where we go through the partnership steps, partnering with Hope and Grace, because we're not going to come in your church and do all this work. We're going to equip you to do it. So we have safe church definitions, which we won't go into here, but we have a partnership guide, and then we have our statements of faith and principles and a commitment to godly conduct, because we can't be doing this haphazardly. Yeah. Then we have initial commitments. So from a lead pastor, a supervising pastor, and then at least two people who are skilled at facilitating a class. Mm-hmm. And we have job descriptions for all of these. So everybody knows, okay, this is my role. And then we have commissioning steps. So people that are going to be commissioned are going to be the point people at the church where when somebody is in a crisis, they know when there's a commissioning ceremony mm-hmm. in a church service that is announcing to the church, okay, we're doing this. Mm-hmm. We're taking this back and we're doing this. And if you are, you know, struggling with sexual sin or you have found yourself in an untimely pregnancy, these are the people to come to, and here's their contact information. And then we provide, you know, training for facilitators. It's only like an hour or two to lead those classes. So we've made it as simple as possible mm-hmm. to really, you know, take this thing back from the enemy.
Yeah, it sounds like a great program, a great opportunity to empower the church to be the church. But have you encountered resistance from many churches? And if so, what are leaders most often afraid of?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, lots of resistance, mainly because we're charting new territory of which most pastors are, first of all, unaware it even exists. Yeah. They don't realize the extent to which the church has been compromised in these areas. And if they're aware, again, you know, they have all these obstacles. And even just saying the word abortion shuts them down, conversation over. Mm-hmm. So politics and legislation are important. But we all know that it's never worked to legislate morality. Right. And besides pregnancy centers, politics and legislation are the main weapons the pro-life movement has used in the past. And most pastors don't know that there are redemptive approaches for the church, a totally different kind of conversation.
Yeah.
The enemy fights us at every turn on every level because he knows that if we get this into enough churches, mm-hmm. the territory that he has most delighted in for decades mm-hmm. is going to be ripped from his grasp.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Joni, can you share some changes that you've seen in churches that were fully engaged in the Safe Church Project?
Okay, yes. Keep in mind that up until now, where now our online courses can be done anywhere,
okay.
And we've only taught this about 9 times in person, and we also need to keep in mind the resistance that we've mm-hmm. experienced because of what I just discussed, yeah. but individuals who engage in this program with our courses and these conversations, I've had counselors, I've had a former abortionist, men and women who've lost children to abortion, many with past sexual sin or abuse. I've had teenagers, I've had older adults, and they all gain godly sorrow about these subjects. And then they become influential with others. Suddenly they can talk about these things in a way that they've never been able to before. So I gave one teen that I know of the courage to tell her parents about sexual abuse that she experienced, mm-hmm. and she began to get healing for that.
Mm-hmm.
Through our equipping courses. So they're not the purpose of them isn't healing, but many who've experienced sexual abuse or sin or abortion, they gain understanding that brings some healing. Resistance to abortion and sexual healing, there's a lot of resistance to that because the enemy is like, you don't need to go to healing. You're as healed as you'll ever be, you know, or whatever the lies are. Mm-hmm. But there's when you start talking about these, then people aren't so resistant to get healing. They're more likely to join a healing Bible study. Yeah. And, you know, because of this resistance, we haven't yet seen the full results that we know are possible. Right. And but we know that God is going to bring this when we get, you know, his spirit leads pastors mm-hmm. to say, hey, I think I want to learn more about this. Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good. You know, so often when we talk about abortion and, you know, even our conversation today centers so much around women, but they're more than, you know, there are two parties involved. And so how does becoming a safe church impact families, men, and the broader congregation, not just women?
That's such a great question. So when the pro-choice community declared abortion is a women's issue, the yeah. church just jumped right on board with that philosophy. I can't tell you how many pastors have said when I start talking about this, talk to our women's pastor, you know, and it's like, okay, so a safe church knows that this is a false belief because men are not only part of the problem, they're a huge part of the solution.
Absolutely.
Men can be empowered as protectors of women and children in a safe church situation, equipped to come alongside dads as they navigate untimely pregnancies and birth. Young men can learn to value, again, the sanctity of their own bodies and those of women. And like my situation, my daughter had 3 teen pregnancies. But she chose life in every one of those situations because of my testimony to her and because we did have a church community that came around her and helped her. And then both men and women who have had abortions or been involved in one or have been involved in sexual sin or trauma need healing. So we need to offer these healing Bible studies. Mm-hmm. There's just small groups. And when people learn that they're not the only one with this in the past, they're more likely to open up and share these testimonies. So I have so many stories, you know, we don't mm-hmm. have time to go into all of them, but I've had counselors who've changed their intake form, you know, instead of saying on there, you know, how many abortions have you had or live births, have you lost a baby to abortion? Totally changes the conversation.
That is good. Have you lost a baby to abortion? I think that is something that I'm going to say brings humanity to abortion, because so often we talk about abortion as if it's not a person.
Right.
Joni, is there any last words that you'd like to say to our audience today before we end our time?
Well, thank you so much. I'm just so honored to be here and for this opportunity to just kind of begin this new conversation. And I pray, I hope, I call out to the Lord to continue this conversation, that you'll continue it. You know, at the very least, hopefully you'll be a little more free to talk to people about the subject and know that this isn't something we have to be afraid of.
Yes, yes. Good, good. Joni, thank you so much for joining us today and for your honesty and faithfulness in this work. This conversation is a powerful reminder that abortion within the church must be met with truth, humility, and grace. And for our listeners, if you or someone you know is facing a pregnancy decision or carrying the weight of a past abortion, help and hope are available through Assure Woman Center. And you can contact us at assureomaha.com. Once again, you can contact us at assureomaha.com.
Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. You can also find information on our website about how you can partner with us in the life-saving work of Assure. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.